Good morning, Glenshaw Valley family.
Good morning.
So I'm going to be reading a scripture today. It's from 1 Samuel 3, verses 1 through 10. And I just saw it for the first time this morning, so I don't have much of a lead-in, but I'll just read it. So the Lord calls Samuel. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening."
Thank you, Jan. You never know, you just saw it.
Sounds like my house calling Samuel.
I want to thank Mike for telling me to put up the scripture. I'm staring right at it, don't have it up. Just get a brain freeze sometimes. But if that ever happens, somebody let me know, please. Thank you. A New York columnist set out to prove that no one really listens to what other people are saying, especially somewhere like a cocktail party. He says that when he was invited to such a party, he always arrives late. When he arrived late for one party and explained why he was late to the hostess. So I had to stop along the way and murder my mistress, and it took a little longer than I thought. Without blinking an eye, the hostess said she understood perfectly. "I was almost late myself. Everyone is quite busy. Enjoy yourself and have a good time." Nobody listens, even to people who are important to us. A young woman tells the time her father went on a 3 weeks vacation to London, and he called her one evening just to check on her, see how she was doing, if everything was okay. And the phone line had static on it. We've all been through that, where the home phones or cell phones. For the life of her, she said she didn't recognize the voice, but she heard the person on the other end of the phone that was speaking with her saying, "Hey, hon, all is well." And she responded back positively, but still not realizing who she was talking to. Her grandmother saw the puzzled look on the granddaughter's face and asked her, "What's wrong?" And the girl explained that someone just called me checking up on me, but I have no clue of who it is. Her grandmother asked if it was male. She said, yes, it was a male voice. Then her grandmother asked what the person's exact words were. Then her grandmother said, "Honey, that's your father. Don't you recognize your father's voice?" Well, I expect some of us, maybe all of us, have been stumped at one time or another when somebody calls us and didn't identify themselves and we didn't realize who it was on the phone. Even though my voice is very distinct, especially for here, I always say, "This is Leonard." Just maybe forgot my name, you'll know. I know I do that. That happened once to a young boy named Samuel. It wasn't a phone call, and it wasn't a static line. He simply heard a voice in the night. He was living in the temple of Shiloh. It was the late hours of the night, and the writer of the book of 1 Samuel responds to the lamp, or reports that the lamp of God had not yet gone out. Now that could mean a couple of things. It might mean simply that it happened late at night. The only light in the temple was a candle burning high up in the temple ceiling, and it was still burning, but it was obviously to the point it was starting to flicker and about to go out. On the other hand, this phrase could have symbolic meaning. Maybe it has both. Eli the high priest was at an advanced age. He was nearly blind, and his sons were in line to take his place to be in charge of the temple, but they were scoundrels who abused their roles as priests and were not the type that should go and be priests in the temple. They were moral misfits. They had no business talking or taking over the temple duties. So the writer may be saying that even though the worship of God at Shiloh was not what it should be, God was still in the dwelling place. His divine presence was still there. He had not removed himself from the temple or from the people of Israel at this time, even though his presence to the people might be rather dim. Whatever that phrase means, Samuel heard a voice, the voice of the Lord. And you recall that Samuel was in the temple because of a promise that his mother had made. Hannah, his mother, was one of the two wives of a man. This is a situation that seems to occur often in the Old Testament. The other wife, named Peninnah, was had a lot of babies. I couldn't get that word out. But Hannah could not seem to get pregnant no matter what. And Peninnah told Hannah unmercifully, or taunted her and teased her about it, as people can be so cruel sometimes. Hannah would weep and pray passionately that God would give her a child. Her husband would try to reassure her. He would say, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you so downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons would mean to you?" His reassurance, however, fell on deaf ears to her. One day Hannah was at the temple of Shiloh. She was on her knees praying fervently for a child. It was then that she made a promise to God. "Lord, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you." She was moving her lips without making any sound as she prayed. Eli watching her pray so passionately, moving her lips but making no sound, thought that maybe she's drunk. So he said to her, "How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine." "Not so, my Lord. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine nor beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant, your wife, as a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my great anguish and my great grief." And Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the Lord God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then, says the writer, she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. And the Lord did give Hannah the desire of her heart. They named him Samuel, which means, "I begged from the Lord." And after he was weaned, Hannah placed Samuel under the care of the elderly priest Eli in the temple of Shiloh to fulfill the promise that she had made to God. A lot of people would pray, they get that child, and then, well, forget about it, and they go on their way, but not her. Now, some years later, Samuel is about 11 or 12 years old. He's lying in the bed in the house of the Lord late at night, and he hears a voice calling him. Samuel assumed that the voice belonged to Eli the priest. You can imagine that Eli, being almost blind, would call on Samuel quite often to do things for him and assist him, especially as he grew older and he grew weaker in his health. So Samuel ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went back and he lay down. Again the voice said, "Samuel." Now if this were some of us, we would either be frightened or we would be upset, because we don't like to be bothered when we're asleep. We want to get that good night's sleep. But Samuel simply got up and went to Eli again and said, "Here I am. You called me." And Eli said, "My son, I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Then the writer explains a very key component to his story. He says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him." Here Samuel is under the direct tutelage of Eli, the priest, all his young life, and yet he still did not know the Lord. A third time the voice called, "Samuel." And then Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli, in his wisdom, realized that he was hearing the voice of the Lord calling out to him. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls your name out again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood there, calling as of the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant is listening." This is a very beautiful story that many of us learn as children. And it's an important story. Samuel would later become a judge of Israel and one of the most important prophets. In fact, he was the last of Israel's judges and the first of the prophets as it changed. It was Samuel who anointed both King Saul and King David to the throne. He had an important role to play in the Old Testament. He played that role thanks to his mother's promise and to his own openness to the voice of God. And of course, we are interested in what the story of Samuel means for each of us. It reminds us of the importance of listening to God and listening also, I believe, to one another. Most of us will not be hearing mysterious voices in the night. At least I hope not. But I did read recently, according to recent research, the experience of hearing voices is not all that unusual. Estimates suggest that more than half of the normal population have heard strange voices at some point in their life, while about 4% of the population hears voices on a regular basis. Mental health professions usually define hearing voices as a symptom of a mental illness. And I would suggest that if this is happening to you on a regular basis and you hear a voice from the outside, you need to consult a physician or if you know someone that is going through that. However, many people who hear voices are able to live with them and may consider them a positive part of their life experience. You've ever seen the television show Perception, I think it's on TNT or something like that, where the main character is schizophrenic, and he hears voices and sees people, and he talks to them, and they're not really there. Sometimes these voices help him solve the crime. Many people hear voices and never find a problem in their life. You may think you've never experienced this, but I want to ask you, are you sure? You may have had the experience of hearing someone call your name only to look around and there's no one there. Research shows that especially for recently bereaved people, it is not uncommon to hear the voice of someone they loved after they are deceased. Hearing voices does not necessarily mean that you've got a problem, but certainly it can, especially if those voices, and here's the real kicker, if it tells you to do something to harm yourself or someone else, that is not a voice that you should be listening to. It's important to note that when God speaks, it is rarely in an audible voice. That can happen, but that's not the normal way for God to speak to us. You remember the story of 1 Kings about a prophet named Elijah who told by the Lord to wait on the mountaintop. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. God sometimes speaks through a gentle whisper. Generally, God speaks in the quietness of our own hearts if we're listening. Rabbi Bert Iskoski, in the Bill Moyers PBS discussion on Genesis, at one point says this, "You know, I'm actually surprised to be surrounded by people who do not readily hear voices. I'm a praying Jew, so I talk to God all the time, but I don't usually hear answers. It's a much more subtle presence to me. God may tell Abraham and Sarah to get up and go and change everything about their lives, But nobody ever says that to me. If I hear God at all, it's similar times reading the lines of a page I've been studying for hours when I'm reading the Torah, the scriptures, and all I ever hear is, "Bert, turn the page. You've been there too long." That's the way it is for most of us. God often speaks to us without words. He speaks to us through our life experiences. He speaks to us through the silence of our own thoughts after time of laying out and praying to Him and then sitting quietly before Him. That's the importance of prayer. We come before God with our needs and our concerns, letting Him know. God already knows those concerns before we announce them, before we go to Him in prayer. But it's still important that we bring those prayer requests and our needs to Him. Then it's important that we pause and wait for a few moments to see if God has something to say to us. Remember, God has concerns too. There may be concerns about how we are living our lives, and He may want to speak to you about something specific in your life, tailored just for you. It may be about someone in your family who needs your attention, needs your help. It may be about something that needs to be done in the church or in the community. Give God a chance to speak. Take time in prayer to listen to God. It's also important that we take time to listen to one another, particularly in the family. Mark Merrill writes about a family relationship. He was writing recently about multitasking. He says that multitasking can be a good thing, but when it comes to relationships, multitasking may not be so good. He was sitting with his family in the room and asked his daughter a question about a friend of hers. Without looking at him, she gave him one-word answer and started doing something else. And then he asked her if she was listening to him. She said, "Yes, I'm listening. I'm just multitasking." I can imagine her on a smartphone. Later explained to her that he felt unimportant to her when she did not give him her full attention when they were talking. Then he thought, "I wonder how many times I have done the same thing to her." We all know what he's talking about. We rarely give each other our full attention. Two men were talking over coffee one day, and one said, "I'm concerned about my wife. She talks to herself a lot these days." The other man said, "Well, mine does too. But she just doesn't know it. She thinks I'm listening." Ooh. All been there. No one in this room will be surprised if I say that the biggest complaint of women, "He doesn't listen to me. I'm not going to ask for any hands." It's important when someone is speaking to us, we're in a conversation with them, particularly with someone that we love, that we look them in the eyes as a signal that we're giving them our full attention. How many times have you tried to have a conversation with somebody and they're literally doing this?
Yeah.
It's not the way to make someone feel loved, that you're giving them respect and your full attention. Arthur Bruce Lawson once put it like this: "One of the greatest gifts that God can give us is a life, is the gift of listening." You ever thought about that as being a gift? To listen to what someone has to say. Maybe they're unburdening themselves. Doesn't matter what it is. Listening is the key to success and perhaps the survival of relationships. I'm convinced that every year many businesses will fail, not because their product is faulty, they may have a wonderful product, but because management and co-workers are not listening to one another, and they're not listening to their customers and what the customers outside want. I'm convinced that every year marriages fail because two people, even though intimate in their love, do not know how to listen to one another. Even the one who looks so strong and adequate may be trying to communicate, "Help me. I'm feeling lonely. I'm feeling frightened. I don't know what to do. I don't know which way to turn." Every year there are parents and children who become disconnected because they cannot put their feelings into words. Family members are good at speaking past the family, the person, and then that family relationship begins to diminish. Listening may be the most important sign of love. Samuel listened to the voice of the Lord, and he became a great man. We will become greater men and women if we too listen for the voice of the Lord speaking to us. And it's equally important that we listen to one another. It's also important that we listen to those who do not attend church. And there are thousands of them in our community. And I think we need to find out why they're not attending church. And even specifically, why aren't they attending Glenshaw Valley? How can we meet their needs and make church relevant to them and worship together with a sense of joy? How can we do that? The Lord came and stood there, calling at the other town, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And I ask you in closing, as an individual, are you listening for God to speak to you, to give you direction, what He wants for your individual life? Maybe to correct something in your life. Maybe to push you forward in a certain area of your life. Are you listening to one another as a family? I know it's very hard to do sometimes. And are we listening to God as the church here at Glenshaw Valley and what He wants us to do and what He wants to be? Are we listening to God? May God bless you. Amen.